It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And today we have a letter from a listener who would like our opinion. And I'm so excited because a year and a half in, we finally got a letter.
I was going to say, no one ever asked me my opinion. That's why I'm excited.
Okay. Dear Lynn and Stacy, my cousin has had a lifelong health disorder since she was a child, but she never really took care of herself. She didn't watch her diet, which would have helped, and was not consistent with her medications. This often led to hospitalizations and periods where she required help being taken care of. She finally started treating the disease seriously, but now is suffering from repercussions of years and years of ignoring it, and some are very serious. As she complains about these serious repercussions, I find myself biting my tongue so I don't say something like, well, if you'd taken care of yourself all along, like we had all told you to, you wouldn't be dealing with this now. I know that's not right, and I feel like a terrible person for even thinking it. Am I a terrible person? Signed, Anonymous. And I don't blame you. I would be anonymous too.
Yeah.
But it's, I think, a legit question.
Well, first of all, I want to say in no way is she a terrible person.
No.
Because.
Sounds like she was there to help.
Yes.
Or she or he, it doesn't say anonymous.
Yes.
She or he was there to help.
Well, no matter, like I brought this up to a friend last night because this is so ironic. But the day before you sent me that email.
Yeah.
She had just been talking about someone very close to her, and it was almost verbatim. In fact, I should have asked her, are you anonymous? Because
yeah.
I didn't realize it was
How
signed
funny.
Anonymous until I
oh, wow.
looked at it again last night. But she has someone very close to her who she starts the conversation by saying that this person spent years never taking care of himself, is pretty sure he has diabetes, and now he's calling her to say, you know, all these symptoms he's experiencing and really blowing it like, don't be shocked if I get admitted to the hospital and all this other stuff. And when she was telling me before I got your email, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people want like attention and need attention and want to get help and advice from others, but then they don't really ever take it.
Yes.
So I feel like it's almost, you know, it's identical to Anonymous there. You know, she, even if she told her friend or her relative what to do, gave her doctor names, made her, you know, if the person's not ready, she's not going to do it. So
well,
by no means is she a terrible person.
Exactly. And a lot of times people who have something that requires constant maintenance just want to feel normal. So they will try to ignore it for extended periods of time. Like as, you know, as someone who's had to take medication for extended periods of time for things, I get that. Because
right.
you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to be a normal person. I don't want to have to do this.
Right.
You know, and I remember like my kids, my son who still takes allergy medicine, I mean, even as something as simple as allergy medicine, like he just wants to go to a friend's house or go on the Boy Scout, you know, camping trip without having to be the kid who has to pack his medicine and go get it every morning.
But it also seemed to me like with her email, that the person wasn't doing things to even help.
Correct.
Like, and I'm assuming, and I don't know, but oftentimes if people have diabetes, they should watch their diet very carefully or possibly
and
exercise.
It says lifelong disorder. Maybe it is diabetes. I don't know. Your friend. That's what
yeah,
your
my
friend had?
Yeah. Okay, or yeah. that's what my friend thinks that her friend has.
Okay.
Especially because.
But there are a lot of things that a specific diet they now know can help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, like everything apparently comes from the gut.
Exactly.
And it may not meet my diet, may not need to be your diet, but if my ailments are of a certain, you know, kind, they pretty much have something that can fix it. And it all revolves around your gut. You know, these probiotics.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years ago, I never heard of probiotics. Now it's like the magic, you know, maybe you did, but I never really heard about probiotics.
No, I think it's within the last 5 years or so.
Yeah. Now everyone, I mean, they say that that really helps so much for people to have better health.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Like, no, I agree. The writer, not a terrible person, but I do understand how frustrating it can be when you're dealing with somebody who refused to take care of themselves and is now dealing with the repercussions of that, and things may be worse, but you know, so they had the power to make it not as bad as it is now.
Right. And now I'm sure the person on the receiving end of the complaining is frustrated, but I was reading some things like what to do, because I can understand that frustration.
Yeah.
If someone keeps saying, oh, woe is me, I can't do this. And you want to say, well, if you just did what we did, what we asked you to do earlier, you'd be better. It's almost like she has to get some thoughts and mantras or sentences, if you will, in her head that just kind of change the conversation around.
Well, ooh, that's like a good idea.
Yes, like you have to start saying, you know, you should say to the person, well, let's look at the positive. You're on the right road now.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting better, or, you know, you're feeling a little bit better. You're able to walk a little bit more, whatever the things are.
Yeah.
Like turn it into and show her like how it's positive. So you're almost taking them off that complaining train without being like resentful or saying angry words to the person.
I like that. Although you can't, you know, a lot of times I think if you try to do that, it's the, you know, oh, my feet hurt. Well, at least you have feet, you know, you can't.
No, not like that. But let's look at the positive. If we hadn't taken care of this earlier, I mean, my gosh, you might have even worse problems.
Yes.
I mean, and it's all in the tone you say it in. And
of course.
So you do. That's why I say you have to practice in your head.
Yeah.
Of things that kind of look at the positive, because even outside of illnesses, there's some people that just want to complain.
No, you're right.
All they're just chronic complainers.
Well,
nothing's ever good.
I had a friend, and this was a good friend. I mean, not a good. It was, this person was very kind to me and helpful whenever I needed anything, but she was so negative and talked negatively about everybody that I knew. A, when I wasn't around, she was probably saying the same things about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so negative being around her that I finally had to like slow the friendship down and eventually end it, as harsh as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how negative she was.
Yeah.
And it was like every time she left, I felt like I had a layer of negative film on me that I had to shower off.
Yes.
And it was very I hated it because I didn't want to feel that way about her.
Mm-hmm.
And there were very brief moments where she wasn't being negative that I did enjoy her company.
Yeah.
But yeah, after a while, it just, that became her personality.
Yeah.
And it was, I felt so bad.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
No, that's a good choice. You made the right choice. And I've done that. I've had best friends that I've kicked out of my life because I finally woke up and realized, you know, how negative they were, or how bad or how toxic they were. Sometimes you want to believe the best in people. You want to see the best in them. But you should, what I was going to say from the very get in this is we're, in Western culture, we're programmed to have all this guilt.
Yes.
About stuff that's not our fault, that we should not feel guilty about. Anonymous, you should not feel guilty about having that in your head. There's a reason that it's in your head, and it's because your loved one is putting it there. Mm-hmm. They're constantly complaining about this thing that it's their responsibility to take care of their own health. They didn't do it. It's not your fault.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's excellent, because I even thought, gosh, I'm kind of like Anonymous. Like, I feel bad when this kind of stuff happens. Like, am I the bad person because I can't stand the constant complaining, you know? And for you to say that makes me feel a little bit better. And that's why at the beginning I said, first of all, you're not a terrible person.
Yeah.
I didn't put it as great as Remy just did.
Thank you.
But it's like that. We're programmed to feel like guilty because we're having a bad thought, or we're feeling, and she probably even feels like, it's almost like you start to build resentment up because now I'm spending, like, we're going to a barbecue, and on the way there, you're thinking, oh my God, all we're going to hear is so-and-so complain about this, that, or the other thing. And because I have a couple people in my life that I just feel like they could be so happy, you know, and you can't tell people, you can't say, well, you have so much to be happy about. That really bothers people when they're down. Like, you can't, I've learned that the hard way. You cannot say, because it's not about that. But some people just want to be heard, or they just, you know, want to, they have nothing else to start the conversation about because, you know, maybe they're not.
Yeah.
So what do they do? What do people always say that people talk about the most? The weather. It's usually, oh, the weather. It's so bad. Where I'm like the last person that brings up the weather. Like, I've got 900 other things to talk about.
See, I love the weather, though.
Well, yes. You love the weather.
I do. I'm like a huge weather nerd. In fact, yesterday we were outside, and I worked last week. I'm a fill-in weather person. That's my other little part-time job, if people don't know. And I worked last week. And honestly, my husband and I were sitting outside, and I said, well, I forecasted the temperature accurately, but I did not forecast this wind. And I was, like, mad at myself.
Yeah, right. See? And I
felt betrayed by the weather.
They're like, the wind was just around your backyard. Probably.
I know.
Just be like, haha, you think you can talk about the weather? I'll show you, Missy.
That was the first thing we talked about when you walked in today, too.
Oh, see? I love talking about the weather. Are you kidding me?
I almost always avoid the weather because I have this thing, like, I try not to talk about, like, in a complaining way, things I have no control over.
Right.
Like, so everyone wants to talk about the weather. I have no control. If it's going to rain, it's going to rain. If it's going to, you know, whatever. I don't have any control. But yeah, some people just, if they can't find something else, they want to complain about the weather. But I've been around, like, these chronic complainers. And, you know, it's funny you said the part about if someone's feet hurt, you go, well, at least you can walk or whatever.
Yeah,
well, actually,
feet.
One of the things in the article I read was sometimes you just have to use humor.
Yeah.
You know, to get past it, especially like if it's in a coworker kind of environment, because some coworkers, you know, can just,
oh my gosh,
complain about everything.
Have you ever worked in the service industry?
Yes, I have.
It's filled with complainers.
Yes.
So many complainers.
And you're not a terrible person because you're kind of like, fed up with, you know.
But it spreads like wildfire.
Yes.
One person starts complaining, another person starts complaining, and then everybody's in a bad mood and stuff.
And I'm not like everything's unicorn and rainbow.
You're not a
rainbows.
Pollyanna.
No, thank you. You're
I kind
not.
Of am.
Well, that's good to be. But I mean, I'm not that way, but I definitely try not to like complain about every little thing that happens because Lord knows I got enough big things to complain about. I don't need to look for the little things.
Well, and it's about catching yourself and trying to do better.
Yes.
You know, you can realize your mistakes. You can change your patterns of thinking. You can change your behaviors. You can be like, you know what? I do complain a little too much. Maybe I need to like check that. And,
yeah.
You know,
well, I just
really
sent a thank you note to a friend for a couple things, but I told her, you know, thanks for listening to this one subject I was, you know, complaining about. And she sent me just yesterday this text saying, you never have to, you know, say thank you. I'm always here for that. And I said, but I just feel like I'm a burden if I'm complaining about something. And she was like, never, you know, that's not like our kind of friendship. We have a close friendship. You're never a burden. And I said, well, I hope you know I feel the same way for you because it's like I have like good, you know, some good close friends. Obviously, Stacey, you're one. It's not like we sit there and complain about 1,000 things. So if you're complaining about something, I know it's like valid and I want to help and do stuff. But if you were like every day we met, there was like something different. It would be like your friend. You kind of wean yourself off because it's a downer for you.
You would have to.
You have to.
Well, and to get back, something just occurred to me to get back to our letter writer here. And it goes off of what you said. I don't know. Something you said just made me think about this. So if they are starting to take care of themselves now, but they are having serious issues and complaining. Like maybe a way to gently say it is like, you know what? Think about in 10 years, like if you hadn't started taking care of yourself now, like how much worse you might be. Like look at, you know, you're going to be so much better off in 5 or 10 years or even next year because you're doing this now. So good. Because I kind of like the idea of inspiring them to keep up the good work if they've started it, you know, taking care of themselves. And so, I don't know, something you said just made me think of that. Pointing out the positive.
Tell them, like, maybe they could even help someone else who might be hesitant to go to a doctor.
Right.
And, you know, you brought up earlier, like, having to take a, you know, pill on a constant basis. You know what? If that's what you have to do, you should just be thankful that the
pill exists.
The pill exists and the medicine's out there. Because sometimes, even though it might be difficult, like with, I don't know if this is diabetes, but you check your sugar all the time. And people just get like, I don't want to be doing that every day. I don't want to be pricking, you know.
It would be exhausting.
But think of the.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you don't take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the frustrating part. I mean, I have, you know, my friend brought up that. This friend that called her even started to say his leg was feeling numb.
Ooh.
And I forgot that, like, if you don't take care of diabetes, I had someone in my family who had to have, like, an amputation of a foot because you didn't take care of it. And it can, if it gets that bad, it can lead to that. So you got to think about, it might be a pain to take this medication or to check your sugar every day, but you could lose a limb. You could die some cases if you don't take care of stuff. You know, there's the old, Remy, are you like this? How guys never want to go to the doctor.
Oh, I haven't had health insurance my entire adult life. I never go to the doctor, ever.
See.
Seriously. Wow.
If you had health insurance.
Nope. I don't go to hospitals. I don't go to doctors. Like,
now, is that, like, I am a big, like, if there's something wrong, I have to get it checked out.
I was, and lately, for the last couple of years, I may
Google it.
No, let's keep an eye on this. And
really?
Yeah, because, well, especially lately, it seems like stuff always happens in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want to go into a packed waiting room in the winter because mm-hmm. I feel like every time, because there were years I was very healthy and I would go to the doctor once a year for my physical. Mm-hmm. And then I would always get sick 3 days later. And I knew it was from sitting in that waiting room.
Oh, okay.
With all those sick people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore.
See, I just like to nip things in the bud and make sure it's not anything serious.
Well, that's
right away.
Probably very smart.
Yeah, because it weighs on me, which creates a bigger issue. You know, I'll just go in. I used to be a super hypochondriac.
Oh, I remember.
Okay, I knew.
It was adorable.
I thought I beat her to the punch before she told it, because anyone who knows
me. I would never have told.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking it, but yeah, I would have told.
I kind of saw the your eyes.
I was wondering. No, it was actually very entertaining.
Very scared.
And I'm like, is there a word for opposite of hypochondriac? Because that's me. I just, I'm just going to live my life, and if my health fails, it fails. But if, you know, so far it's been so good. I mean, I've broken bones and had to go get them set and things like that. That's when insurance would come in handy. But for the most part, and I found out I had kidney stones the hard way because I thought I was dying.
I've heard
I thought I was dying.
Legit think they're
dying. Like, I went to the emergency. Yeah. I went to the emergency room. I was like, I don't know what's wrong. And they're like, it sounds like kidney stones. And it was. So, and then I've never had them since.
That's
just that
so
one time.
See, I kind
Very
of
weird.
Learned my lesson when I don't know if you remember when I had the herniated discs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I went to 4 different doctors, including a chiropractor,
mm-hmm.
who all told me I needed surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like right around 40 years old, and they told me they were going to have to fuse my spine. And I was like, I'm a little young for that.
Yeah.
And every doctor said the same thing. And my doctor, who I love, he had even had surgery, but he also told me that discs, if you stop hurting them, will heal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried everything. I tried physical therapy. I had injections. I ended up having a spinal leak and ended up getting chemical meningitis. Oh, yeah. It was a hot mess.
Mm-mm.
So finally, at one point, even though my son was like an older toddler, I want to say he was 3. I quit doing anything physical. Didn't carry groceries in the house. Didn't pick up my child. Like, walked him by the hand. But, yeah, like, did the very
But never
minimum.
Had the surgery.
Never had surgery. And then one day it hurt less. And then one day I woke up. And I was in so much pain I couldn't sleep. Like, that's how much pain I was in. It was ridiculous. Like, I would walk with a limp. It was awful. So finally, one day I woke up and was like, hey, I haven't had hasn't hurt in a while. And so now after that, I started working out
mm-hmm.
to make my ab muscles stronger mm-hmm. to support my back. And I've had the occasional lapse when I pick up something wrong or do something stupid. But for the most part, I let it heal on its own and it got better. Well, and I found this weird ebook of stretches that I've never been able to find again mm-hmm. on the internet. And I started doing these weird stretches I'd never heard of before. And that helped too, but I've never been able to find that ebook again. It might have been my imagination.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, I was always, until very recently, the person, like if someone said I needed like surgery on it, I was like, let's get this scheduled tomorrow.
Oh, you God. Know?
Right. Right.
Oh.
Wait. Okay.
No, not me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm scared of surgery.
Well, right now, so as you know, like I have like back pain, the hip pain, and I got all these MRIs and they basically said like my friend said, it looked like a cat went in and tore my hips apart, you know? So I went to a doctor who said, well, I would recommend PT and, you know, stretches, kind of basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he said, but I'll tell you what, I am a conservative when it comes to surgery. If you took these MRIs to someone else, they would probably tell you you need back surgery. So for a second I thought, I mean, this is a lot of pain. You know, I should just, but then I started reading more about like back surgeries and how bad they can go.
Oh, yeah.
And I am like, you know what? I've been doing like the walking and like trying to improve it on my own and just like get better in it. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit better, I have to say. I was walking with a limp too. So at least I'm not doing that. But the morning, my back is like killing me. But after reading about these surgeries, and then I listened to this podcast called like Dr. Death, I think it was.
Gosh.
It's all about this doctor who performed back surgeries. And like, if he did 100 surgeries, like 97 of the people he paralyzed.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
It's like a six.
Why would you listen to that?
Well, you know what? It's actually good because now I said, absolutely not. Am I getting the back surgery done?
You'd think after a while his malpractice insurance would be like, enough, stop. We're taking away your license. You can't do this anymore.
If anyone likes true crime or that kind of stuff, they got to listen to this. It was so sad how he kept going from hospital to hospital because if you do a real report, like the hospital that you worked at that you got fired from, that doctor could like sue the hospital because they could say you caused him never to be able to work again. So
it's
nobody
insane.
Wanted to do that report.
Oh,
and that's how
insane.
He kept doing it until it got too far.
Wow.
Where does protecting people come into it? You know, because that's the bottom line here
right.
is mm-hmm. you can't have this doctor going out and messing
that's
up all these surgeries.
All these people are.
But they're scared of getting sued. That just doesn't make sense.
It's so sad.
It is so sad.
So I'm not doing that, but I'm much better than I was before because when I used to go to the doctor, no matter what was going on, especially when I would go, like, if I had my one doctor who I also, he was started off as my gynecologist, but mm-hmm. I used him basically for everything. And every time I got to go in there, because he's so nice.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever tell me not to keep coming to him. But every time, like, something would be wrong, I'd be like, is it cancer? And he would say, cut. After, like, the third appointment, he goes, why do you always say that? I go, I have this thing. Like, when someone says I've got good news and bad news, I always say, give me the bad news first. I just want it over with. I want worst case scenario. What is going on? Just don't, sugarcoat anything. And he's always like, no, it's not cancer. And I'm like, I don't know why. My mind just automatically, because I don't know. I used to be, I think it's when I had younger kids. Because he realized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because like,
you're scared. Yes. I mean, I remember being terrified.
Yes.
Of health issues when my kids were little.
Okay. Thank you.
Because you're worried you're not going to see them grow up, that they're going to grow up without a mother.
I think that's when
it's
it really
It's a huge
heightened.
Mental thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Again, we got sidetracked. I feel like hopefully we've helped this listener.
Well, I think
little.
Change the conversation.
Yes.
Understand that.
Point out the positives.
Point out positives.
Let go of your own guilt.
Let go of your own guilt.
Yes. That's the big thing. And you just said something. Mm-hmm. Again, you said something and it made my mind go somewhere. Like maybe suggest to the person who's dealing with the issue that they maybe volunteer to help people who have the same thing and mm-hmm. are worse off.
Yes.
Because then they will see that, you know, it can be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's hard to tell exactly what it is, but it sounds like this person has some quality of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe find hobbies that are, help them find a hobby that are doable with whatever they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, of course, get rid of your own guilt. And if you need to take a step back, I will say this. If you need to take a step back for your own mental health, you should do that.
It's exhausting to be around somebody like that, to always be trying to pick them up and lift them up and help them out.
And if you need to do that for your own mental health, then you do that. If you want to try some of our suggestions, you know, hopefully you'll let us know if any of them work.
Well, here's another good one. Someone, I saw yesterday a video that someone said they just heard the best piece of advice from their therapist ever. You know how people will say, you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
Right? And so she was telling her therapist a problem and she said, you know, I'm just going to let it go. And the therapist said, I don't like what I just heard. She said, don't let it go. She's like, have you heard the song, Let It Be?
Oh.
She said, let it be, because let it go means you're still angry, but you're just moving it over to
somewhere else
in your brain.
Yeah.
Letting it be means, hey,
it's what it is.
It is what it is.
Yep.
I'm going to let it be and I'm not going to let it get to me anymore. So anonymous.
Yeah. You let it be what it is. and you let you be who you are.
And you're not a terrible person.
And yes.
If you're feeling angry about something, that's a valid feeling. Yes. And you're allowed to feel it. Do not feel guilty for your anger. Right. Don't live in it forever.
Exactly.
But you're definitely allowed to have those feelings. Yes. And it's understandable.
And thanks for the email.
We appreciate that.
We were so
that.
Excited to get an email. I hope we've been some help.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you can take some time away and then contribute to this loved one again in a way that doesn't frustrate you.
Right.
And if anybody else, if you feel like we were helpful at all, send us an email. Check out our website, stacyandlynnpodcast.com, or you can send us a note on social media. You can IM us on Facebook, send us a note through Instagram, and we would love to hear from you. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.